Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
This is Basketball History 101 with Rick Loaiza.
Welcome back to award-winning Basketball History 101, part of the Sports History Network. I am your host, Rick Loaiza, and this is a podcast where we bring to life some of the forgotten stories from basketball history. We are bringing old-school basketball to a new-school audience, and today we bring you the conclusion of our three-part story on legendary coach Red Auerbach. In our previous episodes, we left off with the Celtics losing the NBA Finals in 1958 to the St. Louis Hawks. Bill Russell had a severely injured ankle and was nowhere near 100%, and it still took six games for the Hawks to win it. The good news for Auerbach is that they were all coming back in 1959. By then, Auerbach had put together one of the strongest squads in NBA history. Along with Russell and Cousy, Auerbach also had Bill Sharman, Tom Heinsohn, Frank Ramsey, Sam Jones, and Casey Jones. I just named seven players from the same team who are all in the Hall of Fame now. Having seven future Hall of Famers on one team is absolutely incredible. And free agency was not what it is today. In fact, free agency, the way that we think of it, did not even exist in the NBA in the late 1950s and early 1960s. Even when a player's contract ran out, the rights of that player still belonged to the original team. Back then, a player could not just sign with a different team when their contract ended. Under the rules of the day, the only team that a player could sign with was their old team. The only way to get to a new team was to be formally traded. In any case, this is why teams were able to stay together for so long. If a team liked you and you were contributing to winning, then you were probably going to stay for your whole career. The seven players that I mentioned above were all committed to winning ahead of personal statistics, which is why Auerbach kept them all together for so long. Keeping seven Hall of Famers for that long is virtually impossible in today's NBA. With free agency and the salary cap, players are going to leave for a bigger contract elsewhere. So, in 1959, the Celtics swept the Minneapolis Lakers 4-0 in the finals, and that started their 8-year run of championships. The Celtics won every championship from 1959 until 1966, when Auerbach retired as coach. There are some who say that Auerbach was not really that great of a coach, that he just had more talent on his team than everybody else, and I'm not going to debate that either way. I mean, yes, the Celtics did have more talent on their team than any others, but as far as the X's and O's of coaching, the Celtics only had six plays with three or four options on each one of those six plays, but that was it, for real. Just six half-court plays. They also had their famous fast break, but that is not a set play the way we think of it. That is the Celtics running off a defensive rebound or a block shot by Bill Russell. So even though it was not a play per se, it was something that they practiced to perfection. But Auerbach's real genius as a coach was as a motivator and an understanding of people. He treated each player as a valued member of the team. Now that does not mean that he did not scream or yell if a player was not playing right, but he was known for soliciting player input during timeouts. He wanted for the players to take some ownership over what they ran on the court. No other coach was doing that back then. He also knew what motivated each player, and he got to know them, and he got to know what made them tick. It was not uncommon for Auerbach to have Bill Russell participate in only the first 15 minutes of a practice, and then let him sit on the bleachers and watch the rest of the practice. He knew how hard Bill Russell played on the court, so giving him breaks from practice was a way of keeping Russell fresh. He knew that that was what Russell needed. He would push Bill Sharman harder than most because he knew that that is what Sharman needed. He needed to be pushed to get the most out of him. Again, this was the genius of Auerbach. He knew what each player needed, but was also able to keep that together as a cohesive basketball team. He was also an incredible evaluator of talent. He knew which players were going to contribute to team success and which ones were not. Now, that does not mean that he never made mistakes, but he certainly picked a lot of future Hall of Famers to suit up for the Celtics. So here is the rest of that 8-year run of championships. In 1960, the Celtics defeated the St. Louis Hawks in 7 games to win the championship. In 1961, they defeated the Hawks again in 5 games. In 1962, they defeated the Lakers in 7. In 1963, they defeated the Lakers in six. In 1964, they defeated the San Francisco Warriors in five games. And in 1965, they defeated the Lakers in five. And in 1966, they defeated the Lakers again, but in seven. Now, he announced that he was retiring from coaching to continue full-time in his role as the general manager of the Celtics. He approached a few of his former players about replacing him on the bench, but in the end, he decided that the best coach for Bill Russell was Bill Russell. So Russell was named the player coach of the Celtics. Also, that made Bill Russell the first black head coach in any of the major American sports leagues, and this was 1966. Now, Auerbach could focus on just building the team without the day-to-day duties of also preparing for games. The Celtics lost in the Eastern Finals in 1967 as Bill Russell was still growing into his role as the head coach. Often, he would get so caught up in just playing that he lost sight of the big picture, like substitutions, tracking fouls, making adjustments to what the other team was doing. That was when Havlicek worked as Russell's unofficial assistant coach. And the Celtics came back in 1968 and 1969 and won two more championships under coach Bill Russell. And then Russell retired as a player. And that was a tough one for Auerbach. There was no replacing Bill Russell. Now, this is a good place to take a break, and I'll be right back with the conclusion of the Red Auerbach story.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
At the Sports History Network, we're all about sports yesteryear, and so we're so pleased to introduce you to Row One, an online memorabilia gallery and shop that brings your sports history to life anywhere. The Row One gallery includes over 5,200 gorgeously reproduced prints of team posters, game program covers, game tickets, advertisements, and more in baseball, pro and college football, pro and college basketball, and more. And any gallery item may be printed in a variety of sizes on wood, metal, canvas, acrylic, or poster paper. And in Row One shop, check out the thousands more of you unique items with a retro and historical designs dating back to 1876, including t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, phone cases, mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com, ROW number one, for access to the full Row One catalog and for gallery prints and gift items. Plus, get a 15% discount off all prints on the Row One Pictorum Gallery with coupon code SHN15. Follow the link on the show notes.
Hello, sports history fans. I'm Ross from the podcast Pigskin Tales. You're about to jump into another thrilling sports history moment, but first, let's dive into today's sponsor, just in time for the holiday season. Introducing Art of Words, the brainchild of word artist Dan Duffy from Philadelphia. Dan meticulously crafts stunning images by handwriting relevant words from some of the greatest sports moments in time. These unique, budget-friendly illustrations are the perfect gift, sparking cherished memories and capturing hearts. Choose from city skylines, sports, history, and musicians to find a piece for everyone. And here's the exciting part. For that sports fanatic in your life, gift them a piece of their favorite team or player's history. Art of Words tells a compelling story. Explore collegiate stadiums, each meticulously crafted with every football victory etched into words. Or venture into baseball stadiums, handwritten with every player from the team's illustrious history. My favorite on the site is Bryce Harper 2021 MVP year. Because I'm a big stats guy, I think that's one of the coolest things ever. Check it out. Don't wait. Order a print today for yourself and your loved one this holiday season. Transform your wall into a gallery of captivating art and surprise your family and friends with a print of their own. Use code SHN15 at artofwords.com for a 15% discount on your order in November and December. Visit Art of Words, where words magically transform into stunning art, evoking cherished memories and touching the hearts of those who you care about. Again, use the code SHN15 for 15% off at artofwords.com.
Welcome back to the show, and let us finish with the story of Red Auerbach. And when we left off before the break, Bill Russell was just retired as a player and resigned as a coach. Auerbach had spots to fill. He needed a new head coach and he needed some younger players. Unbelievably, it only took him 5 years to rebuild the Celtics. Only two players remain from that finals championship with Russell in 1969. That was John Havlicek and Don Nelson. The rest of the team was completely rebuilt and they won the championship in 1974 and again in 1976 under head coach Tom Heinsohn, another former player. And then that team started to fall apart with age and free agency. Players were now free to leave once their contracts ran out, and it was a new age in professional sports. Auerbach had to deal with player agents, which he detested. He preferred talking to the player directly and with no one else in the room. But those days were gone, and he was going to have to adjust. And just like a magician pulling a rabbit out of the hat, Auerbach pulled off another one for the ages. In 1978, the Celtics had their first losing season in 28 years. In fact, it was the first losing season since before Auerbach was hired back in 1950. This was something different. But this is where opportunity presented itself. There was a player from Indiana State University who was junior eligible. This means that the player was eligible to be drafted into the NBA even though he was going to play one more year of college basketball. This means that whoever drafted this player was going to have to wait an entire year before he would join the team. Now, most teams did not have that sort of patience. I mean, most teams, especially the losing ones, they want players to come in right away and contribute. But Auerbach was patient and he knew that this player was worth waiting for. So, in 1978, he selected Larry Bird with the 6th pick, knowing that Bird was not going to join the NBA until the fall of 1979. Then, in 1980, he made a couple of savvy trades that netted him Robert Parrish and Kevin McHale. Again, he completely rebuilt the team with Hall of Fame front court and won the championship in 1981. And then he added Dennis Johnson, another future Hall of Famer, and Danny Age, and won it again in 1984. And then he added Hall of Famer Bill Walton in 1986 and won it one more time in dominant fashion. Red Auerbach now had 16 championships. And remember, Auerbach had final say on all player personnel. That means that he was responsible for putting all of those teams together. No general manager in American professional sports history can boast 16 championships. But then it seems that Auerbach's luck ran out. And I'll keep this next part short because it could be an entire episode in itself. In 1986, the Celtics drafted Len Bias, who died 2 days later of an overdose. Now, he was going to be the future of the Celtics. And then in 1987, they drafted Reggie Lewis, who played 6 years and then tragically died of a heart attack. The Celtics did not win their next championship until 2008, when Danny Ainge was running the team and put together the Celtics' big three of Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Ray Allen. But getting back to the 1990s, Auerbach's health began to fail him, and he was less involved with the day-to-day operations of the Celtics. He was also struggling with the idea of having so many people working for the Celtics. When Auerbach was first hired by the original owner, Walter Brown, the front office was only 3 people. It was Brown, Auerbach, and a secretary. And it took only 3 people to run the entire team back then. By the 1990s, the Celtics had 50 employees working in marketing, statistics, public relations, ticket sales, sponsorships, and arena operations. It was completely different than when he started, and if I am being honest, the running of an NBA team in the late 90s and early 2000s was beyond Auerbach. He was passed by, but that was okay. He was older, and it was time for younger leadership. Now, thankfully for Auerbach, he had a lifetime contract with the Celtics. The Celtics could not fire him, even if they wanted to. Also, Auerbach had become almost like a mascot. He represented all that was good about the Celtics. He had an enormous hand in putting 16 banners into the rafters of the Boston Garden, and everybody knew it. And back when he was a coach, he was famous for lighting up a cigar when he felt the victory was in hand. It annoyed every other coach in the league, but there he sat on the bench, puffing on his cigar and relaxing because the game was over as far as he was concerned. Even as a general manager, he did the same thing. From his seat in the arena, he would light up his cigar once the game seemed out of reach for the opponent. As soon as Auerbach lit his cigar, it was officially over. Now, before I finish, I want to share a few funny stories about Auerbach that did not fit neatly into the narrative of this episode. The first one is back in the Boston Garden, and they had banned smoking in the arena in the 1990s, when pretty much most of America had banned indoor smoking in public places, except for Auerbach. He was allowed to continue smoking his cigars inside the Boston Garden, and nobody cared. Here is another one. In Boston, there is a famous restaurant called Legal Seafood. Now, one night, Auerbach was having dinner there, and as usual, he lit his cigar at the end of the meal. An annoyed diner from another table said to Auerbach, "Sir, "There is no smoking in this restaurant. Read the menu." Well, sure enough, right at the bottom of the menu, it did say that smoking was not allowed in the restaurant. But Auerbach had one on her. He simply replied with, "No, you read the menu." If the lady had read the full message, it literally said on the menu, "Smoking is not permitted except for Red Auerbach." So Auerbach continued to puff away. Here's the last one. In 1967, the year after Auerbach retired from coaching, he was convinced to come out of retirement and coach the East team in that year's All-Star game. And Red Auerbach got himself ejected from an All-Star game. But then again, he always believed in playing to win. He even once said to a reporter, "If it's not about winning, then why do they keep score?" The man was laser focused on winning and winning a lot. I mean, at the professional level, isn't that what it's all about? As I have mentioned previously, I coached youth basketball when my children were little. In that situation, it is not all about winning. When I am coaching six-year-olds, it's about having fun, learning some new skills, learning about the concept of teamwork, and how to take direction from a coach. But if you can secure a few victories, then all the better. But once you get to the professional level, it is all about winning. Players and coaches are not given contracts to have fun or for moral victories. They are being paid to win, and that is something that Auerbach did extremely well. Sadly, he passed away in 2006 at the age of 89. His mark on the Boston Celtics should never be forgotten. The team even retired number 2 in honor of Red Auerbach, and the only reason he was given number 2 was because number 1 had already been retired for the original owner, Walter Brown. Well, that is it for us. Join us next time when we continue our series on the lost teams of the NBA. That's next time on Basketball History 101, part of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com to find out more about this and other sports history podcasts. If you like what you hear, please hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast. And check out our page on Facebook. It's called Basketball History 101 Podcast. There you will find shorter historical posts as well as comments and discussion starters on today's game. I'll also announce there when new episodes come out. I want to thank my producer and editor, Jacob Loaiza. Join us each week as we continue to mine the history of basketball for more great stories from the past. Take care and see you soon.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, aka the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
This is Mark Mortier, and if you're a sports history fan like me, tune in and hear me talk about some great sports moments of the past. Growing up during the 1970s, I got to watch some of the most iconic moments in sports history. Hank Aaron breaking Babe Ruth's home run record. Willis Reed limping out of the locker room in Game 7 of the NBA Finals at Madison Square Garden as the fans erupted with a thunderous ovation. The 1980 Miracle on Ice as Team USA defeated the powerful Soviet Union in the Olympics. Listen every Tuesday on Yesterday Sports.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.